All right. Hey, everybody. It's Brent Porsche here at 93.3 WMMR as we continue to bring you complete concert coverage from the 2018 Monster Energy Rock Allegiance Festival here in beautiful, tropical downtown Camden, New Jersey. Joining me now is a band. Ever since they played their first pop-up show in the back of a U-Haul truck in the parking lot of a Randy's Donuts in Englewood, California, they've been touring in support of their debut EP, Made in America, bringing their hard-hitting demonstration to Camden, New Jersey for the very first time. From the Fever 333, we got Jason Alon, Stevis Harrison, and Eric Imprada. Fever 333, what's up, gentlemen?
What an introduction. Thank you.
The pleasure's all mine. I've seen you guys before. First of all, thanks for taking the time to speak with us at MMR. Welcome back to the area.
Yeah, for sure, man. Thank you for having us.
We were speaking off air briefly. You said you had a day off yesterday and you were in Philadelphia. What were you guys up to?
That's right. We were searching for remnants of the Fresh Prince and, you know, our Constitution and things like that. No, we just kind of walked around and ate and, like, we were looking for cool stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Like, just shoes.
I did go to the Constitution Museum.
Eric went to the Constitution Museum.
I got to say, I met you guys at the Fever show earlier this year, the TLA on South Street, and I have to say, I was absolutely blown away by your guys' performance. That would be a complete and total understatement, to tell you the truth. I'm surprised that the block of South Street is still standing, let alone the TLA after that demonstration, man.
Yeah, man, it's fun. We've all been around in other bands into Philly, and we all equally, we have so much love for, like, Philly, Jersey area, like, it's been good to us, so we're stoked.
Awesome. Give me a brief synopsis of the band, how you guys came together, and what your objective is, as you were conceiving this project.
Essentially, the three C's are what inform this project. The three C's are community, charity, and change. Any idea that you can glean from those three words, you will probably get the idea of what this band is about. But also, you know, generally trying to create a safe space to have the discussion in order to create some sort of progress, not only for this country, but globally and for us as a people. The activist element of this band is contingent and as equal as the music itself. So if this speaks to you, come holler at us.
Yeah. Was this as a result of a conversation you had with Travis Barker, right?
Yep.
Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I was having a kid. I was in another project prior, and I was trying to figure out how I was going to really support my family. And I was peddling these bougie, really good, vegan, gluten-free cookies. How L.A. is that? up in an affluent area in Los Angeles, and Travis Barker came up to me at a grocery store when I was trying to sell this account to somebody. And his goddaughter had told him about my other band, and he was enjoying, like, the performance he'd seen, this, that, or the other. And then he found out we had a mutual friend. So he came up to me at this store, bought me a smoothie and a shot of algae. Again, Los Angeles, baby. And that's when I knew it was for real, when he spent about $25 on me just to talk about music. And then we got together at John Feldman's house, which is our mutual friend, and we wrote We're Coming In. And that was kind of the beginning of the... of that.
Right. And as you mentioned, this was a result. You guys disbanded Let Live after 15 years together. Yeah. You also dropped the Fever's EP without notice. How come?
I feel like that's, again, it's a testament to who we are and what we're doing as a project. We feel as though you should really be able to do whatever you want, when you want, within what you believe to be reason. And we think it makes sense. And it's a testament to the organic word of mouth and watching the people spread this idea rather than having to spend time and money on a large campaign. You know, for us, especially at the time, we were just, everything was happening so quickly and organically for us as a project. We just wanted to see how people would react. And apparently, they reacted fantastically because we're here now talking to you.
So. And it's still available for 333 up on the website?
That's absolutely correct.
All right. You talk a little bit about your session you had with Wes Borland.
Oh, yeah. So Trav called me up and he said that Wes was in town and he had these tracks to, you know, that he was doing for his solo record. And he played a couple records for me and basically was like, yo, do you want to get on this? And I was like, yeah, of course. Then we had left on tour and, things kind of jumped all over the place. But I got to hear some things that will be happening on the next Wes Borland solo record. And y'all should be excited because it's crazy. And he was so cool. It's crazy, right? Because, like, these are kind of like mythical creatures in the rock world. You know what I'm saying? Like, Wes Borland played the four string and had black contacts.
Right.
You know, and then I was sitting in a room with them just talking about normal shit stuff.
Especially nowadays with those guys. They're very reclusive between Wes and Fred.
Yeah.
Did you see him today yet, by chance?
Nah, not yet, but I'd like to say hi.
All right, cool, man. With that said, was it you that said rhymes and riffs incite more change than bullets and bombs?
No, I don't know. I don't know who said that. It wasn't me. I mean, it's nice, but, like, I don't know. We would say some. We would. I don't know. But I guess it does. So it can.
That's it. That's it, the very first thing.
I've heard. I know. I've heard. I know. I've heard. Yeah. We. Now we've actually addressed this. Yes, they do. They do. They do. But more importantly, action. Action. Like physical action. Intellectual action, you know, taking your agency and standing by that is what really incites change. The music is a soundtrack. Like, we're writing a soundtrack to a revolution, a movement that's already happening. It's not us. See, we're not that revolution. The people are that revolution, and it's already beginning. It's already begun, and it's been happening. So, yes, we're proud to be allies and advocates, but, like, the people have this. It's in their hands.
Yeah. Cool. Well, as you mentioned, you know, it's about bringing a killer performance, but it's also about bringing change as well.
Yeah.
In fact, your song Walking in My Shoes, which we're playing on MMR, serves as a banner for the band and your activism. There's a Walking in My Shoes Foundation. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah. Essentially, we want to create a revolving door of empathy for various issues that we feel we can speak to throughout the year. And so every demonstration we do and that we headline, we choose charities to donate to, and that is so that everyone knows where their money is going, right? There's a $3.33 ticket add-on, so that when you come to a show, we make sure that every donation is a local donation. We believe that we're being invited into that community. We believe that we're being invited into that culture, so we need to give back, and we need to be thankful, and we need to feel the honor that is that culture and community. So we created this foundation so that we can both legally and ostensibly show people where their money is going and why. And so that charity is another arm of this project.
Very cool. And you mentioned earlier the three C's, the Fever 333. It's a bit of a manifesto you guys have: community, charity, and change. Some people are in the mindset that music and politics do not mix and should not mix. What is your message to those people?
That's up to them, really. Yeah, I mean, everybody listens to music for different reasons. I just happen to listen to it to escape from the politics and the societal constructs that I was not having a good time with, and I needed a place to exist politically. I needed a place to exist societally. So for me, personally at least, I believe that music is whatever you want it to be, and it's a message for anyone in any form that they choose. And that's fine if they don't want to hear the politics. That's absolutely fine.
Gotcha. The debut EP, Made in America, has been out for a little while now, and you guys have been crushing stages worldwide. Any kind of news you can pass along to us in regards to the possibility of a full-length record?
Yeah, it's coming out.
Okay. Tell us more.
we're gonna do a full-length record next year. To be like really honest, it's already done. Like, we have the album. It's ready. We just need to make sure that it's the most impactful period for us to release it, and it's deliberate, rather than, again, just trying to make a campaign so people you know, want to purchase this collection of music. We want people to want and to have a desire, and for this collection of music to speak to them. So we'll figure out the right time to do it. Yeah, there we go. They want. Look, the people have spoken, y'all.
And, I mean, you mentioned off air here that you guys have, what, 2-3 albums worth of stuff in the can or ideas for future records, which is cool. I got to say, especially with you, Stevis, when I saw you guys at the TLA show on South Street, that was my first experience with you guys. And when you jumped out into the crowd and did the guitar solo with the Cyclone Pit going around you, man, that was freaking cool,
that
man.
Was fun.
Yeah, so you guys, I mean, you use the stage and your surroundings as basically a jungle gym. You're climbing all over the place. You guys are over here on the Wiggins Waterfront stage a little bit later on this afternoon. Curious if you scoped it out and see what you have to climb on over there.
I haven't seen it yet, but last time I was here in my other band, I jumped into the bay and got in a lot of trouble, so I probably won't do that this time.
And Eric, do you feel left out because you're sort of stationary back there on the drums?
I mean, I don't think it's that stationary.
Well, you're wilding out like crazy. Don't get me wrong. But when you see Stevis and Jason running around like crazy, man, we need to get you like one of those quads or something in the marching band so you can run around and play the drums too, yeah?
Yeah, maybe.
So you guys have a European tour after all this is done. This is sort of like the tail end of your North American tour, correct?
Yeah.
So you're doing Europe and then coming back. Then Australia and Japan in early 2019, I believe.
Yeah.
Any chance we can get you back through Philly, maybe do the TLA again or something like that? Is 2019 shaping up to bring you guys back through?
Yeah, man, there'll be many chances. I think, again, it's just a matter of – we talk about this a lot when people are like, why don't you come here? Why don't you come here? It's just because – we just need to make sure that it's making sense, and it's the every piece of this puzzle is deliberate. But absolutely, like, Philadelphia, the Jersey area are so integral to, like, Buffalo. I mess with y'all. Oh, yeah, see? All right, we'll be back to Buffalo, Jersey,
Buffalo.
Philly. Anyone else? Anyone else?
All right.
Yeah.
So if I heard correctly, you used to be a big wrestling fan. Used to or still are, Jason?
I used to be. Yeah, I don't follow it as much anymore, but, like, I was a huge wrestling fan. And I think the reason I stopped is because I was, like, really, like, hurting myself too much. That's probably why I stopped.
So that kind of wrestling fan, you were powerbombing each other and pile-driving and all that kind
absolutely.
Of stuff.
Absolutely, yeah, like, off the roof. Yeah.
So have you seen Chris Jericho? Did you say hi to him?
Yeah, I haven't seen him, but, yeah, I know
was that a blast,
here.
Dude?
I got my friend works with him, my old roommate.
Oh, get out.
I got a
Yeah, no, Chris is a cool dude, man. So cool to have him on the bill along with you guys.
Yeah.
Who were your favorite wrestlers back in the day?
My favorite wrestlers? Okay, let me just talk about this real quick. Virgil, no one really talks about him, but he was the black dude, the bald head, and he wore American flag pants.
I just caught the match where he won the $1 million belt from Ted DiBiase.
Let's go! That's what I'm saying. And then Rowdy Piper, because my mom's is from Scotland. And Ultimate Warrior, like, I know he's got, like, an interesting past, and, like, it was clearly he wasn't much of a warrior in reality, I guess. But I'm saying in the WWF,
the
he was,
though.
Oh, boy, yeah. Let me tell you, he was wild. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate it. I know you guys got to prepare for a performance. You guys are going to be hitting the Wiggins Waterfront stage right around 5:50. The demonstration will commence at that time. And, again, we talked about you climbing all over things, so I'm sure there will be plenty of that over there, so I'm looking forward to it.
Sure.
You guys have been awesome. We really appreciate you coming over and speaking and taking some time with us here
Thank
at
you,
MMR.
Thank
we got
you.
Jason. We got Eric. We got Stevens. The Fever 333. Give it up.
What's up, y'all? This is Jason Alon Butler from the Fever 333, and this is the title track from our EP, out now, Made in America, on 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.